I'd ask everyone to stand and we'll have our acting deputy clerk this evening open up with a word of prayer. Nicole, please.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, teach us to put to good account whatever talents Thou hast lent us, to discuss with patience and zeal the municipal affairs which have come before us this day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let me welcome everyone here. And as we commence our municipal meeting, I'd ask members of the council, have anyone any disclosures they wish to declare at this time? Seeing no hands raised, we'll have that entered into the minutes, and if perhaps during the course of this meeting one finds themselves in conflict, notification to the chair identifying the conflict, and we certainly will enter it into the minutes. And that brings us, of course, to the minutes of our previous meeting. What is council's pleasure relative to those four sets of minutes? Councilor Sutton.
I move that the minutes as listed in items 1 through 4 be adopted as recommended.
It's been moved, supported by Councilor Pilon. Any discussion, comments, or concerns? Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm having trouble finding it on the agenda here, but when I was looking over the minutes of the May 20th meeting, there was under consent other minutes. I move to accept the report of the Recreation and Culture Committee, and it states that I seconded it, and I know I didn't. I presume Councilor Davies did, so could we get that corrected, please?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Any other comments, concerns, errors, or corrections? Seeing none, all in favor to adopt as amended? Opposed? Carried as such. Next item on the agenda.
Presentation number 5.1, Economic Website Assessment. Tony DeTomasis and Tyson McMahon have a presentation.
Tony and Tyson, would you come forward, please?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and fellow council members. I'd like to thank you for allowing us to take this opportunity to present an overview of the proposed economic development website. I'd like to introduce Tyson McMahon. Here is to my right. I'm sure everybody's noticed him. He's about 7 feet tall. Tyson is a master's student at the University of Windsor. He's going to be graduating this fall. He has a placement with the town of Amherstburg. He's doing a master's in economics, so it fits quite nicely with what we're working on this summer. As I indicated, this provides council with an overview of the existing town website and what we're proposing with recommendations in doing an overhaul of our website and hopefully leading to a dedicated economic website for the town of Amherstburg. Yeah, maybe if you can lower the lights, it'll probably show up a little better. So currently, when you look at the Town of Amherstburg website, there's quite a few tabs at the top. The economic development website is embedded in the business section, and it's multiple clicks to get from the business to economic development, to get to statistics, to demographics. This is the type of information that investors and developers are looking at when looking at Amherstburg as an opportunity. what we've looked at, we've done some research and we looked at other municipalities and what they're offering and what the, how their website is derived. How many mouse clicks does it take to get the information that they're looking for? And through our research, we've come across the city of Hamilton, which is recognized by Infrastructure Ontario. It's been recognized by FCM. It's been also recognized through Infrastructure Canada as one of the leading examples and one of the leaders in economic development. This is a glimpse of their website, which you can see it's very, very visual. There's four key tabs at the bottom. If you're looking at small business information, it's there, downtown development, waterfront opportunities, and then site selection, which are properties that are either in the city of Hamilton or being offered through real estate boards. So we've done a few of these just to show where our website is right now. Some of the information on our website sits blank, and that may be just an updating issue or a maintenance issue. But these are the kind of things that we went through. We went through the throes of doing some research, doing some investigative work on our website, and then developing a strategy on how we're going to deal with these disconnects. So I'll have Tyson and I are going to flip back and forth, so I'll let Tyson speak for the next three or four slides. So here, Tyson.
So as we can see, there are several, a handful of pages that are blank, and why this is being highlighted is that, especially in this day and age, the website is the greatest marketing tool that a municipality can have when it comes to economic development, attracting businesses, attracting investors into the town of Amherstburg for business. Now, again, the website of a municipality, especially with economic development, is in fact a reflection on the town's capabilities and abilities, to attract investors. And this is something that we want to change. As I've said, since a website is a reflection of a municipality, we want that reflection to obviously be a good reflection. Now, a majority of the pages on the website look like this one right here. Most of them, again, have a large emphasis on textual explanations, and there's a varied use of non-appealing and, in most cases, hard-to-read charts on relative statistics. This, for example, is the strategic location of Amherstburg, where, unfortunately, on this, there's not even a map of Amherstburg in relation to the rest of Canada or the rest of the United States, just numbers plugged in on a chart, hoping that someone is able to read through them. The next couple slides will provide some examples of how we can transform the website into a visually more appealing to investors and potential business. This is an example of what Waterloo has done with their strategic location. You can see Waterloo in relation to the rest of Kitchener-Waterloo region and the rest, and in relation to southwestern Ontario as a whole. Obviously, we want to just emphasize Amherstburg's unique location in southwestern Ontario, and the rest of the Midwest, or the rest of the Midwest of the United States, which Amherstburg actually has a very unique location in comparison to the rest of Ontario. Again, this is an example of statistical data or graphical visualizations of the labor force. Businesses and industry want economic indicators on Amherstburg. They don't want to have to read through textual-based explanations. They want to see the numbers presented to them in a visually appealing way, so that they can get the numbers immediately without having to sift through a whole bunch of statistics. Here we can introduce economic indicators of like employment by occupation, unemployment by occupation, employment and labor force statistics, the amount of skilled labor that Amherstburg has to offer. And this allows industries and businesses to almost have a screen capture of what our labor force is like in Amherstburg and what industries would be attracted to that. The other example is demographics. Again, on the website that we have now, there's, in most cases, and almost I think on the webpage right now, is just links to Statistics Canada, which for most people, they're just gonna completely avoid and move on to the next city. Here, I would like to introduce visual representations of statistics that can provide economic indicators of Amherstburg. For example, including income and buying power of residents of Amherstburg, the highest educational attainment, university, college, high school, what have you, and also including skilled labor forces. How many of Amherstburg residences are skilled in construction, plumbing, what have you. As well, we can introduce housing and cost of living indicators of Amherstburg. How much is it, how much is it affordable to live in Amherstburg? How much does it cost to live in Amherstburg? And what is the average housing price in Amherstburg in relation to the rest of Ontario, Canada, what have you. Another thing that I would like to highlight that I think what is key is what's missing with the website now is emphasis on the top seven intelligent community of 2011. Something that Windsor, the Windsor Development or the Windsor Economic Development Corporation has done a really good job at is emphasizing the intelligent community of the Windsor Windsor Essex region. And I think that's something that can be definitely utilized.
Some of the good things that were done with the website were this is a good example, 15 reasons to invest in Amherstburg. We find it's a little outdated. The emphasis should be on business-friendly environment and practices, well-developed infrastructure, and a strategic location to the U.S. and Ontario. What we'd like to do is develop a top 10 list focusing on the investments in the infrastructure, investments that have been made through the federal government and provincial government. We'd also like to identify the large assemblage of industrial land opportunities that are available. Again, its strategic location and its close proximity to the new international crossing. And hitting on the demographics that Tyson just mentioned is the availability of labor. And Amherstburg's always been a very industrial town, so we want to market those abilities as well. Again, here's another example of downtown development. Very, very little information there. We'd like to enhance that. This is an example from other websites that we've seen. They've taken a downtown map, whether it's a downtown core or extending it slightly. They've gone along and identified all the retail locations, industrial locations, office locations, and provided a developer or investor a brief description on that location, what's being offered, and again, what synergies lie with existing businesses that they may be able to leverage in their development. Another opportunity that it exists is in promoting a business of the month, a business of the week, promoting businesses that we have in town already. And we're looking at promoting the success stories in Amherstburg, also creating a business retention plan and looking at businesses that are existing in Amherstburg. How can we as a town help them to do better? What can we do as far as incentives, grant opportunities, and also what can we do as a community to promote and make businesses that are in town sustainable? We also want to incorporate the Shop Amherstburg website into this webpage, and hopefully begin collaborating with the local Chamber of Commerce to promote their initiatives as well.
So a next sector that is highlighted in the current Amherstburg Economic website is retirement community development.
Right now, there's a very brief listings of the current retirement community developments that are there, and it's a very brief intro, very minimal, does not really indicate Amherstburg as a retirement community. What we would like to see is introducing a retirement community development listings or a map, as the example on the screen has shown. So what this can do is we can map out Amherstburg based on the different retirement communities, and then again, linking those retirement communities to nearby local services and systems, whether they be healthcare, programs, ease of access, and this could be immediately, where is the nearest pharmacy to the retirement community, where is the nearest local doctor, health services, and even, for instance, the Shoppers Drug Mart, how close is that relative to the retirement community? It can also include testimonials of current retirees that are living in Amherstburg on the viability of Amherstburg as a retirement community. As well, the first thing that you see when you come into Amherstburg is that Amherstburg is Canada's historic safest community. Again, that can play into the retirement community or Amherstburg as a retirement community. Now, what I think is key in what I, or retirement community, the development of retirement community is key to Amherstburg, as that this development will allow Amherstburg to increase its ability to leverage the healthcare industry as Amherstburg as a retirement community that also that supports retirees and allows healthcare development within Amherstburg. Now this, by having this development, this can create greater capacity for medical investment, services, and programs that can be involved in Amherstburg. Again, this can lead to collaboration with St. Clair College, the University of Windsor, and collaborating with their nursing programs or anything such as in-home care services or end-of-life care as well. The development of the retirement community here in Amherstburg, again, can lead to a healthcare industry taking place in Amherstburg. Amherstburg can be one of the leading communities when it comes to retirement services, end-of-life care, and in-home care services, which is a huge healthcare issue that is, as I think as we speak, is what we're addressing, especially with the baby boomer generation, in which they will have to have support systems in place, and I think Amherstburg can provide that support system currently. Another example of the industry's highlight on the website is tourism. Again, the website that we have currently just has some brief indicators of tourism and where people come from. Basically, it's just a matter of introducing visually appealing statistics. Again, origin of visitors, that's just an example, but the visually appealing statistics is what people want to see. And for tourism, I think we need to also introduce economic indicators of tourism rather than just noting where the origin of the visitors are. We can attach a dollar amount to tourism, to each individual tourist in Amherstburg. A couple examples is revenue per available room, as well as the average daily room rate of a hotel. Again, by doing this, we can attach a dollar or figure to tourists so we can assess their economic impact on Amherstburg.
Again, this is another portion of our website. It's the available properties that are in town. These are either through the MLS or town properties. It sits relatively blank, needs to be updated. What we'd like to see again is a map of the entire town of Amherstburg and highlighting available properties, whether they're industrial, commercial, and other business opportunities. We also have the ability to backlink this to the MLS listing, so we've got cross-advertising through all the various real estate agents within our town and throughout Essex County. Another unique tool that's being used by the City of Windsor and Lakeshore, and along with the majority of the other municipalities, is BizPal. BizPal streamlines the customer service and reduces town hall overall costs. What this does, it's on the front end of customer service. If someone's looking at getting a business license, they can do all the front end research and application at home. At the comfort of their home in front of their computer, and then bring their information to Town Hall, and it helps to streamline the application process.
So a big part that's missing from the current website is integration of social media. Now, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, most of, awareness of whether you're a business or a municipality is through the use of social media. Now, what we would like to see is full integration of social media within the website. This can provide live, real-time updates via any social media outlet, whether that be Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, what have you. They can, again, provide real-life updates to any ongoing capital projects or rehabilitation projects that are ongoing in Amherstburg. So, for example, if we're going to take a look at reforestation of the Libro Center, we can have live Twitter updates on progress that's being made. We can have live pictures of progress of the reforestation. All of that can be uploaded to the website, and it's very easy streamlining, and it's very low maintenance of maintaining social media. It's very low costs that are involved. Another thing we would like to see introduced into the website is economic dashboards or economic indicators. These can provide an overall assessment and overall health, if you will, of Amherstburg's local economy. We can also, that can, any indicators from employment rate, new business startups, what have you, can be included in these economic dashboards. We would also like to see, progress indicators on capital projects or rehabilitation projects that are ongoing. And again, just like social media, this can be provided through a live feed where progress can be updated weekly, bi-weekly, bi-annually, quarterly, what have you.
Another example of an economic dashboard would be a quarterly report. These quarterly reports can provide information on real estate sales, building permits, regional employment rates, business startups, and even licensing. These can be updated on a quarterly basis and provides council with information and as well as the public at any time. So in closing, we would like to just thank you for the opportunity presenting to council these ideas. We look forward to moving this forward. I think it's a really important integral part in moving economic development forward in the town of Amherstburg.
Thanks, Tony and Tyson, for that presentation. Before I open it up to council for any questions they may have, do you have a time frame?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We're in the process of looking at costs associated with this and getting some budgetary figures. We have some money in the economic development budget that we can put towards this. We're looking at more of the graphical design. Tyson can help out with the data entry and collection of data. So we're looking at more of a graphical design and graphical input.
Thank
so we're looking at probably within the next 2 to 3 months to be able to have something
sure.
present back to council.
Thank you very much. With respect to the presentation, Councillor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I want to congratulate you. That was fabulous. I think that's going to look really cool. I really like a number of the things. Some of the questions you've already answered for me, like how frequently will the updates be. You mentioned that you're going to be doing the research, and do you have specific areas where you'd be getting the sources of the data, because that is critical to be accurate and to be timely.
Yeah. So through you, Mayor, so I think most of the statistical data will probably come through Stats Canada. A lot of their data is viable. It is as correct as it can be. And as far as data on economic indicators, we have certain data that we can use currently as far as infrastructure costs or infrastructure projects. But I think most of the data can come through Stats Canada. To be honest, it's just a matter of pulling that data and formulating it into ourselves.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much for that. The other area you might want to be looking at is public health. Does extreme detailed information in relationship to the healthcare issues and where the different figures can be for there. So I suggest that you look at that as well, especially if you're going to be also picking as one of your foci. The health issue. One of the ones that, and I certainly have talked to Rebecca about this a few times, one of the other areas I see you've targeted, or at least a target, is the senior population. I think that's brilliant, because they are people coming here, want to come here, they can sell their houses in another community and buy a house for half the price, and I think that's a real selling point, plus the taxes are lower, and the services are, and the weather is better. The area that I would like to see a little bit more work done on is the new generation, the young families who have an opportunity to move here, and certainly that may in fact lead the way to the type of housing development we do to match young people who want a place to live that has maybe or may not have been developed yet, but you know, urban design where they can put their kids out on bicycles and they can be around the community. They can go and have local place center of their own little village that they can shop in within Amherstburg. I think those are the areas we have to, because they will bring people to a market that otherwise we're trying to sell to anybody, and that may be something that I'd like you to look into as well.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So if I may answer, I think through the retirement community, future collaboration through, say, the University of Windsor and St. Clair, I think by developing the retirement community, we start to be able to bring in the youth that are involved in healthcare. By that, we can attract those that have just graduated out of the healthcare industry and have them come to Amherstburg as a destination for good-paying healthcare services. That I think once the retirement community, if that be the case, is developed, we can start to attract those students from University of Windsor, from St. Clair, and even promote collaborative programs with them, the immediate hiring internship programs that I think that will eliminate the youth flight that is happening in Amherstburg. I think that can be addressed in one way through that, but I agree with you completely.
Just a clarification, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, just, and that's great, that's fabulous. So
yeah.
That is somebody's being attracted because of a work course. What I'm looking at is attracting to new properties where people can actually say, now there's an area designed that meet my family's values, and I would like to live there. So I think that's an opportunity we have here with so much development that hasn't started yet, really. It's in the planning, but there's no houses laid down that would complement people who would come from all over Canada that might say, this is a community that I would like to move to. Oh, and by the way, I can get a job in the healthcare system.
Yeah.
I think what council can do, will have an opportunity to meet with them. This is going to be a 3-month period before they get back, and certainly you'll be able to speak with them directly and, of course, put some of those ideas and suggestions to them. Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Tony. Tony has a good presentation, and there is a lot of room for improvement, but you've hit on so many different things. I think you're heading in the right direction.
Councillor Cruce.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Tony and Tyson. Thank you for the presentation. And you did partially answer my concerns regarding the cost and the time frame. And when you bring it back to council, could you also elaborate whether or not we have the manpower right now to enact this program, or if we will require more people?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, through Councilor Puget. We've already have, through my department, a maintenance person that's going to be maintaining and updating that website with the quarterly reports and quarterly data that was identified through the reorg as well. So we will respond back to council and identify who that person would be.
Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you and Tony, you just actually touched on my question, because obviously the website design is important. The updates are what's even more vital. And a lot of times it's easy to point fingers and blame IT. But IT isn't to blame, because the bottom line is a lot of times they don't get the information that needs to be updated. So, you know, they're dealing with the old garbage in, garbage out phenomenon, right? So I think that's important to be built in, because Amherstburg does have a great story to tell. We have a lot of positive economic drivers, including a skilled workforce, proximity to post-secondary education, great schools locally. We've made tremendous improvements in our local infrastructure. The highest percentage of infrastructure rated good in Windsor Essex County is right here in our hometown. And so we've got to toot our own horn and tell that positive brand story that attracts good businesses to come in the future.
Councillor Pelham.
Thanks, Wayne. Tony, I enjoyed the presentation. I think it's good. We need this. I was just wondering if when you touched on retirement communities, like, will you be able to express some type of retirement communities in there, or will you work with developers to try and say, well, here's a retirement community, low-income homes, to specify it on this website? Is that a way of going? Because people that want to retire want to get into a lower-cost house.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, through you to Councillor Pelon. I think it's going to be a cohesive effort through our planning, through economic development. Economic development connects the dots with the developers through the planning department and conveys the information and conveys the needs of the community. We can definitely take that under advisement. We're looking at all aspects. Amherstburg offers more than what any other community in Essex County offers. It's diverse in its type of living. You've got medium to high cost of exclusive type of living. You've got retirement. You've got waterfront properties. So we have a lot of advantages. It's just moving that initiative forward. Tyson's done a lot of research in the retirement living. I think what he was trying to key in on is that retirement living is almost an economy in itself. Through retirement living comes the type of
personal support workers, increasing in-home care services, end-of-life care. By developing a retirement community, we begin to attract those that are in the healthcare industry, and we can directly attract those in the University of Windsor, St. Clair, and in the rest of the Windsor-Essex region, of attracting healthcare officials, healthcare services, as Amherstburg as a hub for in-home care services. And I think that's a huge part of retirement living, is keeping seniors living in their home. And if we're going to keep them living in their home, how do we address their needs and how do we bring services to them? And I think that is just, it's a watershed of once we begin retirement community development, the investment will come through the health care service, because there will be a huge demand. And once, whereas there's a demand, someone will will bring in the supply of that.
Councilor Sutton, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I move the presentation be received.
It's been moved. There are supporters. Councilor DePasquale, further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Motion then is carried. Thank you. Next item.
The next item, report 7 from Community Services, 7.1, seeking letters of interest regarding Libro Center concessions.
Relative to the report from Community Services, any questions of council? Councilor Pilon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wondered if Rick could speak about this for a minute, because looking for letters of interest on our concession, I thought our discussions previously was the concession would remain with the municipality. Like, what's brought this on? What's happened?
You want Rick to speak to the report? Go ahead, Rick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The reason why we brought this forward is for the past 3 years, the concession has run under the auspices of the town, and in a traditional business case model, the average cost to the town has been about $8,000, $8,800 to be exact, per year, and that's taking into account revenue as well as staffing and product. So we're looking at this in an opportunity to get into a case where we're looking at businesses that are in the food industry, the food and beverage industry, and have an expertise in providing that service and getting into some type of lease agreement.
Just follow up to that.
So you're telling me that our concessions haven't been making money? Because I thought they were. So that our concession stands do not make the town any money.
Mr. Mayor, no, it does not as a whole. We do take on it as a service to the residents. If they're looking to have a practice or they're using the facility, we'll open if that's what they're wanting to do. But as a business case, we're looking at creating a model that is beneficial to the town.
Right. I think council should be cognizant of the fact that when we opened up the arena, that was the thing we went for, is we looked at concessions to be done by outside vendors, and we had no takers. Councillor Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, and I do understand the need to reassess this in that, you know, there's a fair amount of pressure on us to make sure that we're, although we're not in the business of making money, that we're taking care of the costs that we have. One of my concerns, of course, is that there's going to be folks who may need sustenance when it's not a high-end program going on. Is there any consideration beside, like parallel to this, that there should be some vending machines with nutrients in them to help people who showed up and, oops, I'm not going to have dinner tonight because there's not a large enough number for a private organization to have the cantina or the kitchen open?
Mr. Mayor, that's something that we're always looking at too, and we do have we do provide a healthy choice in the vending machine at the Libro Center, but again, it's based on need and sort of the level of service that we want for the center. There's always going to be two sides of the coin. We provide that service, but there is a cost to that service. If we are looking to get into a lease agreement, well, then we have to look at what that lease agreement is going to say in order for us to provide sort of the same level of service.
I think what you've got to understand is this is a recommendation coming to council, and certainly it doesn't make council dependent on accepting it, but at least you're going to put some feelers out and get an indication on what's the best way to deliver this type of service. Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move the report and the recommendation.
It's been moved. Is there a supporter? It's been supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Further discussion. Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. And I do understand that this is just a preliminary, but I just have a quick question. If you do find someone that's interested or some people that are interested in operating this, will it, their insurance fall under our umbrella? Like, will they fall under our insurance or will they have their own?
Mr. Mayor, they will have their own. That will be one of the requirements of the lease agreement, is that they have their own insurance.
Dean, you had your hand up.
Mr. Mayor, I just thought I'd add in that essentially what this is, first of all, we're going after letters of expressions of interest. We're not going after, this isn't an RFP process. We're doing that on purpose to sort of test the waters a little bit. And really, we've been talking about this for at least a year. And the idea being that if we can get back to our core competencies, which is essentially leasing space, that's what we're good at, that perhaps we can work out a more profitable model. But also we're looking at the realities of we don't have the opportunity to take advantage of economies of scale that another vendor might have who is already in the business and therefore buying product in a larger scale, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really just a testing the water thing. I don't want council to be very comfortable with that.
It'll be interesting to see what it went forward. On the motion, Councilor DePasquale, you got your hand up?
Just one comment through you, Mr. Mayor, to Dean. Like, say we did decide to go over in the end, like, we would be saving some money also, wouldn't we? As far as not having to run it anymore. We hire all the personnel that do all the cooking and whatever. There would be some savings.
Mr. Mayor, that's exactly the point, you know, whether it makes money or doesn't make money, whether we can turn it into a profit center versus what it is now, which is a service to the community, we can continue. And if we don't get a good feedback in terms of people who are interested in it, then we'll carry on and we'll keep trying. And probably what we'll end up doing is things like closing on days when we know we're not going to earn. But the point here is to kind of shift our thinking a little bit from the service that we provide, try and continue to provide that service, but using someone who can do it as part of their core competencies rather than us force-fitting something. So I hope that explains.
Councilor Sutton?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Yeah, and I agree with you, Dean. I applaud the initiative because I think at the end of the day, what we're going to try and do is lower our expenses and increase our revenue, and either that will happen through this process, or it will not, and we'll continue to look at ways that we can, maximize that canteen, so that at the end of the day, it's making the most bang for the buck for the people of Amherstford possible.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Item 7.2, Proclamation of June as Recreation and Parks Month.
With council's pleasure, relative to the recommendation, Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move the report and concur with the recommendation to proclaim June as Recreation and Parks Month in Amherstburg.
There is support for that. Councillor Pouget supports that motion. There's no further discussion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously, so that it's carried out. Next item.
Item 7.3, Essex Power Corporation's Youth and Community Fund.
Councilor Pino.
I'll move the report from the Manager of Business and Development Programs to be received, and that Council approve the use of the Youth and Community Fund 2014 allotment of $10,000 for the construction of the Recreation Programming Room at the Libro Center, subject to Essex Power Corporation approval.
Is there a supporter for that motion? Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 8, reports from finance, 8.1, approval of the 2013 audited financial statements.
What's the council's pleasure? We have with us this evening?
We have Tyler Hicks.
We have Tyler Hicks and Lindsay Ronding here. What's the council's pleasure relative to the audited financial statements you have before you? Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that their statements be received and be approved as adopted and presented and circulated in accordance with the Municipal Act and that the 2013 financial statements and the 2013 financial information returns be submitted to the Ministry of Municipal Affairs in accordance with Section 294 of the Municipal Act, and that the 2013 financial statements and the 2013 financial information returns be posted on the town's website.
Supported by Councilor Davies. Are there any discussions? Councilor Pion.
Thank you. Just I basically got one comment, and I'm glad to see us get it in on a reasonable time frame. Thank you.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Next item.
Item 8.2, 2013 year-end budget to actual summaries and transfers.
Again, with council's pleasure. Can everyone speak at once? Councilor Sutton.
I'll move the report and the recommendations as listed in items 2, 3, 4, and 5.
There's support for that motion. Councilor Davies supports that motion. Further discussion. Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I'm not sure who I can direct this question to, but...
You got your mic on?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Number four, the water budget to actual variance shortfall of $346,357. It states that it goes to the water reserve, it be taken from the water reserve, and I thought our water reserve was missing.
Neither, please.
Through you, Mayor Hurst. What it is that, not that it's missing, it just goes towards future surpluses in water will offset these water deficits.
Follow up? Go ahead.
Just as a follow up. So it's taken from the current year and it'd be taken from the water reserve, but I didn't wish we had a water reserve to take it from.
Oh, we do have water surpluses from prior years that we're offsetting these deficits with. So they are equity reserves and deficits. They're not monetary funds. So in what it is for instance, is whatever our net operations are, we are carrying that onto the books. And we have had surpluses in the past. And the current year, this is an accumulation of 2011, 12, and 13, which brings us into this budget to actual deficit. So that will be written off against the prior years from 2010 and back.
So as a follow-up?
Go ahead.
So do we actually have money?
No, it's not cash.
No.
These are just equity balances.
Right.
So it's just moving our equity around. It's all non-monetary. All of these transfers are non-monetary.
Okay, you understand that?
It's similar to the tax stabilization when we move our budget to actual variances over. So, for instance, one year where we may have a surplus or a deficit, then we offset the future year surplus or deficits. So it balances out our expenditures over time. So we're not hit with one big deficit in one year and one big surplus in one year. It sort of smooths it over a number of years.
So it's just on paper.
It's on paper.
Councilor DePasquale, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to the auditors and our treasury personnel. Just got a question. I did send in some stuff to you, Lindsay, and I'm just wondering, were there any policies recommended or were anything done with any of the issues? Like, we had our 2013 variables that were non-dependable during budget. Would that have affected anything, like, when you were looking at these numbers?
Can you clarify what you mean by the 2013 variables? Do you mean
versus 2012? We were told by administration that they had been changed and they were.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I know what you're meaning now. Again, and before we were here, sometime late fall. When it comes to budget, we don't audit the budget. It's basically on there unaudited. So I know that that was a concern of council, and I know that management's taken that into consideration. As far as I know, that's been dealt with, but again, that's really not part of the audit.
Councillor Pelham.
Thanks, Wayne. Just what attributes to the shortfalls?
So usually the shortfalls are, if for instance, there is capital expenditures in 1 year that are unbudgeted or that will cover through operations, that tends to throw us into a bit of a shortfall. A lot of our shortfalls for the past, especially for water, had to do with operations covering some capital expenditures that we didn't go out and get debentures for.
So if I may, so they weren't budgeted either then? They weren't?
No, some of them weren't budgeted. So what we did, is because we didn't get the debentures, mm-hmm. it had to be covered by operations.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
On the motion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Item 8.3, changes to the pre-authorized payment plan for the payment of taxes.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move the recommendation to the report of the Supervisor of Revenue dated May the 20th regarding changes to the pre-authorized payment plan for the payment of taxes be received, and further the council adopt the changes to the pre-authorized payment plan effective July the 1st, 2014.
That's supported by Councillor Davies. Once again, any discussion? Councillor Davies, a few
yes,
words.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to thank Greg and the revenue section for doing this, because I think this may, for many people, help them a lot in being able to budget smoothly from month to month versus that dreaded quarterly withdrawal that they might have or quarterly payment that they have to come to make. I think it makes life a little easier for many people. But I'm assuming that it is still going to be an option. Some people may choose to have it and some people may not. Is that correct?
Through your worship, yes, it will still be an option. They'll have to fill out the application form attached to their report if they would like to enroll in the plan.
Okay.
Well, just further to that.
Yeah.
Greg, that brings up just one question in my mind. I know that my wife and I are on the pre-authorized plan on a monthly thing. We don't have to sign anything further, do we, or does anybody?
Through your worship, that's correct. If you're already enrolled in the plan, there's no further correspondence needed. It will just be carried forward.
Thank you. I thought so.
Thank you for that, Greg. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Once again, that motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Item 8.4, municipal funding agreement with AMO, federal gas tax revenues.
Councillor Sutton.
Thank you. I move that report be received and that bylaw 2014-46 being a bylaw to authorize the execution of a municipal funding agreement for the transfer of federal gas tax funds be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
Supported by Councillor Davies. Once again, discussion? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously. Report number
item 9, reports from Engineering and Public Works. 9.1, engineering services for bridge and culvert structural inspections, request for proposal results.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the report from the Manager of Engineering Operations regarding engineering services for bridge and culvert structural inspections request for the proposal results be received. The council award the contract to Keystone Bridge Management Corporation to provide engineering services for bridge and culvert structural inspections, and bylaw 214-48 being a bylaw to enter into a contract with Keystone Bridge Management Corporation providing services for bridge and culvert structural inspections be taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
They're supported for that. Councillor Davies supports that motion. Further discussions? Councillor Pelham.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just there was
Councillor,
there was one question I had earlier today, and I talked to Todd about it, but I'm still wondering I know you put up a, there was a scheme, maybe that's a bad choice of words. There was a chart that you used to rank the contractors, I believe. I seen it somewhere, I was trying to find it. But and so I'm just wondering, did this Keystone come up higher in the chart because there were a couple of them a little cheaper than them? Like, what was the purpose of selecting Keystone?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, definitely. Keystone, of the four proponents that we received, Keystone had the most experience with the type of bridge and culvert inspections that we're doing here. For example, in the last year, Keystone did 560 small bridge and culvert inspections, similar to what we do. The other proponents, some had varying degrees of experience, but nothing last year, some in 2012, some 2011. The difference between Keystone and the lowest bid was about $4,300, I think. But with the experience that Keystone brings and some of the references that we received from some of the municipalities that they work with, we felt they were the best option.
Okay, I think we all can understand, and especially you, Councillor Pion, that the lowest is not always the best one to go with. Follow up you have?
Just so I was wondering, where is Keystone from?
They're in Ontario, definitely up in the Kitchener area. I don't know the exact
okay, small town. Good enough. Thank you.
On the motion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion against, carried unanimously. Next item.
Item 9.2, Kingsbridge Subdivision Phase 6C, initial acceptance of underground services and roadworks.
Councillor Sutton, if you would.
Thank you. I move the report and that council place the underground services and initial roadworks on a one-year maintenance period commencing May 21st, 2014.
Supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Further discussions? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again, it's carried unanimously.
Item 11, reports from the CAO's office. 11.1, request for variance from bylaw 2002-84, lawful fences.
Relative to the recommendation, Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the report from the assistant to the CAO dated May 27, 2014, and council approved the request for a 4-foot bracket 1.2192 meters wrought iron fence at 159 Park Lane Circle.
There is support for that motion. Councillor Pouget supports that motion. Any further discussion? Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I have nothing against this at all. It's just, have we done this before? Like, is each request dealt on its own merits?
Of course.
Just to clarify.
Go ahead.
Sure. There have been other reports that have been passed by council, and each request would be looked at individually to ensure that sight lines aren't being affected. And
okay. Councillor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, and I don't have any opposition either. It's certainly not going to block a view of traffic for corners or anything like that. But I'm just wondering, have the neighbors been, has it been commented to the neighbors, and are they comfortable with it? Because it will change the streetscape view.
This bylaw doesn't require any notification, nor does the municipal act. For a variance to a fence bylaw, so they have not been notified. The fence bylaw does allow for a 3-foot.
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 Yeah.
This is going to be 4.
But I think the key here is the setback and the sight line, and that's where you're going to have a problem.
Okay, thank you.
On the motion that's before you, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again if carried unanimously. Reports under 12?
Under item 12, information reports, and there are 7 reports before you, Council.
From A to B, what's your pleasure? Councillor Sutton.
I'll move reports A through G, save and accept B.
There is support. Councillor Pilon supports that motion. Further discussion? Councillor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I'd like to speak on B, C, and E.
You'd like to speak on which ones?
B, C, and D.
Okay, would you include that in your motion, please?
Absolutely. So we'll amend that to read the reports A, D, F, and G be received.
vote for that?
I'll be glad to speak.
Is there anyone else there?
And I just wanted to ask a question on A.
Why don't we do them individually?
Well, let's do them individually. Let's start with A.
No, I just wanted some clarification on what the groundwater policy was for the county official plan, just so I have an understanding.
Rebecca, would you respond to that question, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor Hirst. The groundwater policy was modified at the provincial level during the approval of the county official plan because it was vague and it was onerous. And so now it's been modified so it's more specific that a groundwater impact assessment is only required when there's a major Planning Act trigger, as opposed to many of them are very minor, and also when there's potential impact on vulnerable aquifers or water groundwater recharge areas. Does that answer the question?
I think so. I know certainly we've had a number of horrendous storms where it has impacted, but what you're saying is that if there's minor flooding or minor like spring thaws, then that would be less significant?
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. The purpose of this particular policy is to not address surface water, but the groundwater. There is a groundwater study that was done, Chatham-Kent Essex groundwater study. So we do have a good understanding of our groundwater features in the area. The Essex region, Amherstburg, we're not relying on groundwater as our drinking water. We're relying on surface water. And yet, in other areas of the province, groundwater as a source of drinking water is very important. But I think your question relates to surface water features, which is addressed in both my report on the county official plan and the provincial policy statement, where there's a much greater focus on addressing climate change adaptation and mitigation and understanding storm events and addressing those things through climate change adaptation.
Entertain a motion to receive. Councillor Davies, they're supportive for that motion. Councillor Pino, all in favor? Motion is carried. Next item.
The next item is B, Nuisance Mosquito Initiative.
Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Todd, I enjoyed listening to your dulcet tones on the radio this morning, but perhaps for you know, all of us here tonight, maybe you can go over exactly some of the history and what the town has done in that area, what we're doing perhaps that's new this year, and then also what the residents can do to help out with it, because I realize, as you stated this morning, that you know, we can deal with some of the public lands, but private property requires assistance of the residents. So what can we do to work together to hopefully bring some benefit?
Just before you respond to that, Todd, Councillor Davies has her hand up, and she may perhaps have a question that you may include in your response. Councillor Davies?
Sure, we can gather all the questions. Well, and I was out to the Coco property on Girard, and wasn't the midday, and wasn't there 2 or 3 minutes when I wasn't totally covered in mosquitoes, and they had a nice little snack on me, but that was what I was expecting, and I wanted to see for myself, or feel for myself, I guess I should say. I did want to ask you, and we did chat also earlier in the day about some of the, besides what the town can do, also, but some of the outside-the-box solutions that other communities are using. I did a fair amount of research on what other communities are doing, and if you could enhance on that, and how we can work as a team in the community on this.
Sure. Councillor Pouget is going to include a question.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. both Councillor Sutton and Councillor Davies have addressed some of my concerns, but I also want to address the fact that the field behind Girard, the street still hasn't been cut, and it's quite long in that area. The ditch behind Girard Street hasn't been addressed. And the area abutting Sandwich and Bruner Avenue, it was very, very long, and it has been cut, but it's still laying there. Like, they haven't removed all of the the long grass until that tends to be a really bad area for the mosquitoes right in there. And I just wondered if they had a chance to address the pool areas that were not opened, that hadn't been opened for a few years.
Todd, you may respond now.
Thank you. I'm going to leave the questions regarding the field on Girard and Bruner and the ditch. I don't know if Steve's going to be able to speak to those.
So you're not going to answer none of the questions?
No, I'm going to start with the easy ones by passing those off. I'm going to leave those to Steve. That's bylaw enforcement, so I'm not sure if he can answer that or he may have to get something from BJ on that. But I'll start. The history is long. I'm sure that certainly the neighbors and residents in that area can tell you far more than I can. I read back in some of the reports. I read about a public meeting in 2006 at the Verde that was quite lively from the notes that I read. It's certainly not a new issue by any stretch of the imagination. It's looking through some of the counts that I received from GDG, it goes up and down. 2007 was a not a bad year, and the residents probably could answer that it was a better year than most. It's gotten worse. 2011 was bad, and 2013 was bad again. Some of the things that the town does, and they were outlined in the report, we go and mow some of the grass in those areas. We work with Amsburg Land Holdings. There's some land that we own, and they own some, and we try and mow those a little bit more than we normally would for that long grass. There's a ditch along in the back of Duff Street near the radio towers that we've started to mow. That's actually town property. The ditch that runs behind the houses on Girard is on private property. That's not ours, so we have no access to that. We've sucked out all the catch basins already this year. Through the West Nile virus, they're going to start larviciding those in the next week or so. And once the larviciding program is done, if we need to go back and clean the catch basins out again, we'll do that. One of the things that we're doing new this year is we're going to work with GDG to try and identify some of the, I'll call them hotspot areas, that we can get to that are creating some of the mosquitoes. I'm not going to pretend that we're going to address the whole problem. It's a starting point, to be honest. They're going to do some trapping and some monitoring and try and find some of these spots that they can address that at least if we map them out and can maybe start to address them now, that may help. Public information, I think, is important. Again, the residents, they can help themselves. Now, I'm sure the residents, a lot of them do help themselves as much as they can. And, you know, maybe their neighbor has evergreen trees that are overgrown and they're concerned about that, but unfortunately, as a neighbor, you can't do that about your neighbor's yard. So there's some of the things we're going to put a public information campaign. Our first ad is going to be in the newspaper in the Rivertown Times on Wednesday. Additionally, we're going to put a flyer out to all the residents in that general area about things they can do to help themselves, and I think to outline some of the things the town's doing so they can understand what we're doing, or what we're trying to do, I guess is maybe a better statement. The other thing is we've always, the town's always worked with Honeywell and their initiatives. Honeywell, we support them. They're financially, they spend, talking to Giovanni Grande, their plant manager, in the last 10 years, they've spent over $500,000 on nuisance mosquito control in their area. And areas like the Mayu Quarry, as they call it, in the back, and the South Drain, and trying to cut them, and larvicide, and it's a battle that at some points they thought they were winning, and again after last year they don't feel like they're winning again, but they're going to continue to do so. Giovanni's assured me that they have a contract with for the next 2 years, so even though their Honeywell / Amsburg Land Holdings will sort of be out of the picture in a few months, they have a 2-year contract to continue that maintenance. That's some of the things that we're doing. Again, talking to Councillor Davies, blank there, apologize, about some of the initiatives. One of the things that part of the public education campaign is GDG has offered to host a booth at the Canada Day. So I'm going to work with Ann to set up a booth where they're going to give out some information, answer questions regarding mosquito control, some of the things they do, and possibly some green alternatives. We were talking about bat houses. I actually have one in my own backyard, and whether it works or not, I don't know, but I like to see the bats fly around every once in a while. And that goes to sort of being able to try and help yourself as a resident. And I know that the residents in that area, and again, I've experienced it myself too. It's hard, but the town is also limited in what we can do. We only have air access to the right of ways. We work within bylaw enforcement to address some of the other areas, and we're going to try and do some public education, maybe to get some of the other residents to help themselves, maybe that aren't doing that. And again, I think that it's important to know that this is it's ongoing, and I'm sure that some of the residents feel that there's been no gains and actually probably losses in the fight over the last couple of years, and some of that's weather contributable, and some of that is, well, I think it's mostly weather contributable in nature, right? I mean, mosquitoes breed, and I don't know where they're going to be here when I'm gone. I know that, so I don't know if that answered all the questions, but let's start there.
I'm wondering, Steve, could you respond to those questions that have not been answered?
Concerning the long grass and this standing water in yards, that would fall under our yard maintenance and property standards bylaw. I'm not familiar with what enforcement has been done so far this spring on that, but I can certainly check with our bylaw enforcement section on that.
I think one of the things that needs to be done, and I'm sure it will be forthcoming from administration, is the fact that the area that was talked about, the weeds have been left to grow for a lengthy period of time, and of course when you cut it there's deposits of clumps of grass there, and that in itself causes it exasperates the problem. I think Todd, you spoke on it has been a long standing problem on an annual basis, and we've used the services of GDD for the last over 10 years with the assistance of the Windsor Essex Health Unit. That being said, nonetheless, we have taken the initiative, and it's important that we get that information out to the public so they can see that we have been collaborating with, of course, Amherstburg Land Holdings, along with Honeywell, to do our part to try and address this particular problem. But let's not overlook the fact that there's a certain strain of mosquito there, the saltwater mosquito, and it's very aggressive. That is the one that causes the problem, and they're going to be doing the, as you suggested, the larvaciding, setting traps, and seeing exactly if we have arrested that particular problem. But there's putting that information out to the public so they can understand what they can do to help reduce this particular problem is very important. Understanding, of course, the fact that in some of the older neighborhoods in Amherstburg, we still have those areas where properties abut each other with no rear yard drainage. And this time of the year with the rains, of course, that creates another problem that we have to address. So let's be mindful of that very fact. Councillor? Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Mayor. Just with respect to grasses, Steve wasn't a party to those discussions today, but we're going to, starting tomorrow, actually, we spoke with the town solicitor today, we're going to take a very, very aggressive approach regarding people who are allowing grass to grow in violation of the town's bylaws. And notices are going out tomorrow morning to a number of people that own multiple lots throughout the town, and some of the other big lot owners, and these parcels that you're talking about, and they're being given until early next week, at which we will then move in. We've only been using one firm in the town, I believe, for cutting, and there are several available. I like to use the term today, blitz. That might be overdoing it. So I guess everyone is cautioned that the town is going to become very aggressive on this grass cutting and the violations. So the next complaint you will get, no doubt, will be from people complaining about their lots being cut.
Councilor David.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I think there, when I talked about outside the box, and as I said, Todd and I did speak today, but you know, I think if we could do some more research in relationship to what the saltwater mosquitoes habitat is, and Brenda certainly has done her research. She's also almost an entomologist now, but in mosquitoes. But that is, if we know what they like, and I know it's a private property, but we may be having to consider, or even a pilot project of what don't the saltwater mosquitoes like. And of course, I would suggest whether or not we can research whether or not milkweeds, the non-seedable milkweeds, because we are also a tourist destination for butterflies, and they're not coming anymore. But they allow a dryness between the lots. I don't know. Antoinette might be able to, Annette might be able to do that, or a scientist may be able to tell us. What don't the saltwater mosquitoes want to live in? And go from there as well. Looks like we have some experts at that. So I think if we do that research as well, so there's no one solution. Bat houses, different habitat, going after the larvicides and so forth. But there's no one, and then at least maybe we get it down to a livable situation.
Okay. No. Councillor...
Move receipt of item B.
It's been moved. Is there a supporter? Councillor Pino, all in favor? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item?
Item C is the West Nile Virus Program.
I think that's been spoken to. What's your pleasure?
Councilor Pino. Receipt.
It's been moved, supported by Councillor Sutton. All in favor? Hold. Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item D, property maintenance at St. John's School, Brock Street.
Item D, who wanted to speak on that? Anybody? All in favor, motion?
Move to receive.
Supported by Councilor Pino. All in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously.
Item E, 2013 annual report on development charge reserve funds.
Again, with Council's pleasure. Councilor Pino.
Motion to receive.
Been moved and they're supported. Deputy Mayor Sutherland, further discussion. Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. For 12E, it states that at the start of the year 2013, the town had a balance of $4.6 million in our development charge reserve fund. The town ended the year with a year-end balance of $4 million. Yet, in the next paragraph, it states the 2013 annual report on development charges is $4 million. However, the development charge reserve balance as of December 31st, 2013 was $0.9 million. And the difference represents amounts loaned to general accounts. So it appears, I might be reading this wrong, but it appears to be conflicting statements in two separate paragraph. So my question is, do we have a year-end balance of $4 million as stated in paragraph 1 or $0.9 million as stated in paragraph 2? Because I read the final line and it's $609,645 and that's not $0.9 million.
Anisa, would you respond to that, please?
Through you, Mayorhurst. The $4 million in the in the GL, that's the balance we have on the books, but in the bank balance is 900,000. So the difference here has to do with the development charges bank account loaning the general fund monies. So that's where the shortfall is.
Okay, go ahead.
So as a follow-up, where do we get the $0.9 million? Because the final line reads $609,000. So that would be $0.6 million instead of $0.9 million.
Where are you seeing the 609, sorry?
At the very last line.
Okay, so that's 609 if you're looking at it. Are you looking at the schedule?
Yes.
That's 609 are the contributions of development charges. That's what we collect in development charges during the year. So that money is deposited into the bank account,
So where do we get the 0.9 million?
The 0.9 million is the actual balance in the bank account as of December 31st. So our bank account has a balance of 0.9 million.
Okay. On this one?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just two questions. One, actual cash is 0.9 million.
That's right.
In that separate fund.
In that bank account.
And then who authorized the amounts to be loaned to the general fund?
That is something that occurred prior to us, this administration being here. So we are this year going to look into the intercompany transfers between the development charges bank account and the general account.
Councilor Di Pasquale, follow up, go ahead.
Just a quick follow up on that. So will we be getting a report back on that as to who authorized all this?
That's right. So once we investigate further, we will bring a report.
Okay. Councilor Di Pasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I can't remember.
Neither.
So, I'm sorry. Just a question on the 0.9 million, the 4 million. Is that, when would that go back to? How much, what time period was that money collected? Do you have any idea?
You mean to total? It goes all the way back to from amalgamation between Amherstburg and Anderton. So it goes quite a ways back. So that's why it'll take some time for us to investigate as to the discrepancy between the bank and the GL balance.
Thank you.
Yes, certainly.
And Mayor and Council, I anticipate too, that's something clearly the municipal affairs will be looking at addressing.
Okay. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously. That brings us to F.
Item F, accounts paid for the period May 6th to May 26th, 2014.
On the disbursement, Councilor Pilon.
Motion to receive.
Been moved. They're supported. Councilor Sutton, further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item G, Provincial Policy Statement 2014.
On the PPS. Deputy Mayor Sutherland?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me. I move the report from the Manager of Planning and Development Services regarding the PPS Statement 2014 be received for information.
Been moved, supported by Councillor Davies. Further dialogue? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Again, motion is carried unanimously.
Item 13, consent correspondence. There is one item before you, Council.
Councillor Sutton.
Move that correspondence be received.
Been moved, supported by Councillor Pilon. Further discussion? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried.
Item 14, consent other minutes. There is one set of minutes before you from the Amherstburg Heritage Committee.
With Council's pleasure relative to those minutes, Councillor Pino.
I'll move the minutes be received.
Motion to receive those particular minutes of the Heritage Committee, supported by Councillor Davies. Further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Once again, motion is carried unanimously.
Item 15, unfinished business, items as of Monday, June the 9th, 2014.
Any questions of council? Councillor Fuji.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I'm just requesting whether or not council, and I don't recall this, on Thursday, March 3rd, 2011, council passed a motion that council received the presentation from the Heritage Committee and further that council direct administration to take the necessary steps to move forward with the establishment of a heritage district, and the motion carried. Did council rescind this motion?
When did that, would you say the date?
March 3rd, 2011.
I don't know. You'd have to, council, not going to be able to say that. You're going to have to check.
It was a motion to...
The motion was to direct administration to take the necessary steps to move forward with the establishment of a heritage district.
That's in... Let's get the
2011. We'll look into that and bring that back next meeting.
Okay. Okay, anything else under unfinished business? Councilor Pugin?
Yes, regarding the sign bylaw, I know that our deputy mayor brought up the sign bylaw, but last meeting, but council was advised that we were proceeding with the other side bylaw that I had initiated in early.
We talked about that at the last meeting.
Do you know when this is coming before us?
I'm currently reviewing the files of what work has been in progress. I'm looking at to see if we're going to have a public meeting before or if we're going to just look at the committee that was formed internally. So I'm just proceeding with those documents.
Do we have any indication when we might be responding back to council relative to that question?
In all fairness, no.
We'll help. How do we target the August meeting? And we will give you, we'll provide council, if nothing else, an update at that meeting.
Okay.
Because this has been going on for, this will be almost 2 years.
Yeah, well, and yes, as I indicated to you, it's been just recently reassigned to Nicole, so we'll give you an update as soon as we can.
Okay, and regarding the road report, I know Todd was trying to get the road report back to us regarding, and we had asked if our solicitor could look into trying to obtain the funds that were still outstanding for the roads.
That's right. Oh. That's
right. Todd, have you got a response or where we're at relative to that? Have we spoken to our solicitor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The update from, I guess, from the solicitor at the last contact is he is still looking at the one subdivision. The two smaller ones that we talked about with the budget, he's recommended to just proceed with. I haven't had contact back with him regarding Shaw, but I'll follow up on that.
Okay. Still under unfinished business. Anything else under unfinished business? Councilor DeConsquad.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to this, our CAO, can we add that smoke bylaw on the unfinished business list? I think it's waiting for a public meeting.
As a matter of fact, Council, we're going to give you a more up-to-date what's outstanding. Matter of fact, we were just to meet on that this afternoon, but we ran out of time, so I think we're set for Wednesday again. So we'll give Council an update on all of that and get back to you.
Okay. There's no other unfinished business? That brings us to new business? No new business? Councilor Davies.
I just want to take advantage in new business just to comment on the Federation of Canadian Municipalities Conference. There was a lot learned and a lot found out. So it was a lot of discussion on different grants that were available for municipalities. There's a lot of wonderful strategies in relationship to improving our communities and our infrastructures and our socioeconomic development. So I just wanted to mention that. I it would be nice at some point if there could be a more detailed report on it, but I did want to mention that it was extremely constructive, and I think there was four of us there, and it was very, very useful.
I think the thing you need to touch on simply is that those that were there were told, and I would hope, went away with the fact that Emmitsburg, by far, the municipality is ahead of the infrastructure, as other municipalities have not did it yet. And so those are the things that you want to really put emphasis on. Still under new business, nothing else. That brings us to notices of bylaws. Are there any, or I should say notices of motions. Are there any notices of motion? Hearing none, that brings us to bylaws.
18.1, authorizing the use of electronic vote tabulators.
Councilor Peel.
I move bylaw 2014-43 being a bylaw to authorize the use of optical scanning vote tabulators in the 2014 municipal election, being taken as having been read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
There is support for that motion. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 18.2, development charges, background study, bylaw, housekeeping.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the bylaw 47 for 2014, being a bylaw to enter into a contract with Watson and Associates Economists Limited for development charges background study be taken as having been read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
You're supported for that motion. Councillor Sutton supports that motion. Further discussions? All in favor? Motion is carried.
Item 18.3, execution of location agreement, Sinking Ship, Giver 3 Productions, Inc.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that bylaw 2014-49, being a bylaw to authorize the execution of a location agreement between the Town of Amherstburg and Sinking Ship, Giver 3 Productions, Incorporated, regarding construction of an inclusive playground at the Libro Credit Union Center, be taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Supported by Councillor Davies. Further discussions? Councillor Peel.
Just on that motion, I wonder if Rick Daly could just give us a quick update where we're at with it. I know I talked to you briefly. We had some dates in the past. I believe they're around August the 17th or so to go ahead. Is that still on track?
Mr. Mayor, it is on track. Right now we're in a holding pattern waiting for designs from the production company. They're also currently filming earlier episodes. I know they had just finished one in Strathroy. So they're in the process of getting us the designs and then getting approval for those designs. Right now, as it stands, the dates are firm at August 16th is when they come in and do a meet and greet with the volunteers. 17th, 18th, and 19th of August is when the build will take place, and with the 19th being the grand opening.
Councillor Davies?
Rain or shine?
Rain or shine, sun or darkness.
I think that's a good time, too, because we're going to have the participation of the Ontario Games taking place at that time for seniors 55 and over. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried.
And the confirmatory bylaw.
Councillor Sutton.
Thank you. Move that bylaw 2014-51, being a bylaw to confirm all resolutions of the municipal council meetings held on June 9th, 2014, be read three times, finally passed, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Moved, supported by Councillor Pilon. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously. That brings us to the next item of the agenda. What's your pleasure? Councillor Davies?
Move to adjourn.
Been moved, supported by Councillor Sutton. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
There you go, Nicole and Paula.
Thank you.